All right, I got a question for you in the room, and tell me by show of hands, who loves a good cookout? Raise your hand if you love a good cookout. I love a good cookout. I love the cookout food. There's something about hamburgers, cheeseburgers, hot dogs that just gets me going. My food taste didn't really grow up as I grew up, and still, cheeseburger for my world is one of the best things you can get. I love a good cookout, and the other thing about a cookout is sometimes it feels like you just got an extra excuse to maybe go back for seconds. And you got the music, you got games out there, maybe you got a pool party, you got a pool, but it's just so fun to have a good cookout. Now, here's the thing that the kids in the room may not be appreciating very much, is that a cookout is a lot of work. A cookout is a lot of work. It's so good, but it's a lot of work. I'll tell you, I was actually thinking last night as I was kind of, you know, getting ready for bed, I was thinking, you know what, it's Labor Day. Maybe we should have a cookout. We just moved into a new house, new neighborhood, and I was like, I was envisioning myself, like, inviting all the neighbors from our entire street and have a big cookout. And I was like, oh, this would be so fun. Until I started thinking about all the work that goes into that. I was like, you know what? Maybe next year. A cookout is fun, but it's so much work. You got to do all the cooking. You got to do the cleaning. You got to do the preparation. You got to have enough seats. You got to figure out, does anybody have any kind of dietary restrictions? Like, a cookout is a whole lot of work. Now, you might be wondering, why are we talking about a cookout, right? Well, aren't we in the book of Exodus? Well, yes, we are. We are actually in the book of Exodus, and believe it or not, this is the last week. We've been going through the book of Exodus for almost 6 months, y'all. 6 months, and we are rounding out the book of Exodus, and this is the very end. Now, I gotta warn you, I have promised Megan that this is going to be a short sermon, and yet somehow I have to preach about 15 chapters in one short sermon, because the book of Exodus ends up, the last 15 chapters are all about the tabernacle. That's what we're going to talk about, the tabernacle. Now, you can look, in case you're wondering, what is a tabernacle? Well, look on the screen behind me. You'll see this is a picture of what the tabernacle might have looked like based upon the descriptions from Scripture. We see a big tent in the middle. We see a curtain wall around it. We see a couple of items in the middle of the courtyard. Now, fear not, we're going to talk about every little piece of this tabernacle, but for starters, what I want to do is to help you appreciate how, in some ways, the tabernacle is kind of like a cookout. Now, bear with me. Here's how. All right, so in the tabernacle, what you've got is you've got God coming to dwell with his people. It is a celebration. The tabernacle is a celebration of God's presence. God comes to live with his people. Look at Exodus 25, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to take an offering for me. You are to take an offering from everyone who's willing to give." And verse 8 says this, "You are to make a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them." The tabernacle is a celebration of God coming to live with his people. It is a party. It is a gathering. It is a joyous occasion. It is so good. If you were with us last week, you know that the Israelites were really terrified. There was one point in the story they were so sad. They were so sad because God had said, "Because of your sin, I'm not going to be with you anymore." And the people were so, so sad. They were crying. They were angry. They were total, like, their world had fallen apart. But then God comes back because of his grace, and he says, "But I will be with you." And then they're partying, they're celebrating. That's where we are here. God has said, "Yes, I'm going to be with your people." All right, so remember the cookout? You see the picture of the cookout behind me again? Cookout's a celebration. It's so good, but it's a lot of work. Well, that also reminds us of the tabernacle, because the tabernacle was so good, it's a celebration, but it's a lot of work. Look at verse 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to take an offering for me." You're to take an offering from anyone who is willing to give. So the first thing they got to do is they got to take up a whole bunch of money, because the tabernacle costs a lot of money. Kids, I know you don't know this, but food costs a lot of money. So if you're going to throw a cookout, you got to be willing to spend some money to go get the burger meat and get the hot dogs and get the buns and the chips and the coleslaw and all the things. It takes a lot of money. So did the tabernacle. It took even more money. And so they're giving out their gold, they're giving out their jewelry, and so that it can be built together. It took a lot of work. And then God said, "Hey, I don't want you just to make any kind of building. I'm going to tell you exactly what I want you to do." Verse 9 says, "I've got a pattern for you, and I want you to copy the pattern." The tabernacle It's so good, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Now, here's what we're gonna do. Before we talk about the tabernacle anymore, I'm gonna show you a video. All right? And in this video, you're gonna see the tabernacle, and it's gonna take you through it, kind of guiding you through a tour. So enjoy the video for just a minute. Starts from the outside. You see the tents all around as the people are gathered around the tabernacle. And then we're going in, into the outer gates, into the outer courtyard. You see the different elements. You got the bronze altar. You got the altar of offering. And then you got the bronze basin. We're going to talk about all these things and why they're important. And then there's the tabernacle itself. You should pay attention to all the things you see here, because all of them are so important. It's not just got one covering, not just two coverings, it's got three coverings. And then we go in the tabernacle as soon as it starts buffering. Maybe we go in the tabernacle. Inside the tabernacle, we've got more furniture, if the video will go. Let's try. Yay, there we go. Inside the tabernacle. Again, pay attention to all you see. We're going to talk about these things in a minute and why they're significant. And I want you to imagine how long it took to build and to gather all of these supplies. Think about how much work it took to build this tabernacle. Now, this is the outer room. This is called the holy place. But then beyond the curtain is the most holy place, which we're going in now. It's the Ark of the Covenant. All right, so that's the video. And this is the tabernacle. All right? Now, we're going to talk a lot about these different points and different things in the tabernacle. We're going to talk about God's rules for building the tabernacle. And there's lots of details. And if you're kind of like me, if someone starts reading a whole bunch of details, I kind of get a little bit bored. And my eyes glaze over and I get distracted. So to help you as we read the details, there's one main theme, one main point. And you'll see it on the screen. The main point throughout all of these details is God is present and God is holy. That's an important main point. So I want to see if you can repeat that after me. What's the main point? God is present and God is holy. All right. Keep remembering that as we talk about the details. Okay, first detail. Let's talk about the curtain that is around the tabernacle, the curtain. Look at what Exodus 27 says. You're to make a courtyard for the tabernacle and make hangings for the courtyard out of finely spun linen, 150 feet long on that side, including 20 posts and 20 bronze bases. Okay, now I forgot to tell you a rule. In the description of the tabernacle, anytime, kids, this is for you especially, but also adults, kids in the room, anytime you hear me say bronze or silver or gold, I want you to raise your hand really high. Okay, let's practice it. Bronze. Okay, good. Silver. All right, gold. There you go. All right, so as I'm describing these things now, why is that important? Because remember the main point, God is present and God is holy. When we see things, when we see descriptions of gold or silver or bronze, what those things are is those are images. Yes, I know. Those are images that remind us that God is a king. Because back in the day, if you were a king, you had all of these elements to show how rich and wealthy and powerful you are. So they are including 20 posts and 20 bronze bases with silver hooks on silver bands for posts. For the width of the courtyard, make hangings 75 feet long on the west side, including their 10 posts and 10 bases. Okay, so that's element number one. It's the curtain that goes around. Let's talk about element number two. This is the altar that's in the middle of the courtyard. Now let's see what God says about the altar in Exodus 27. You are to construct an altar of acacia wood. The altar must be square, 7.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide. It must be 4.5 feet high. You see how detailed all of this is. Make horns on its four corners. The horns are to be of one piece. Overlay it with bronze. Make its pots for removing ashes, and its shovels, basins, meat forks, and fire pans, and make all of its utensils of bronze. All right, good. So that's the second element. Now let's look at the next element, which on the big screen you understand is the arrow is pointing to a bronze basin, a bronze basin. All right, now let's see what the Lord says about the bronze basin. The Lord spoke to Moses, make a bronze basin for washing and a bronze stand for it. Set it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Aaron and his sons must wash their hands and feet from the basin. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting and approach the altar to minister by burning food offering to the Lord, they must wash their hands with water. Okay, so let's go back to the main picture that you see. Now what you see, the arrow is going to show us that the very next thing we're going to see, we're going to talk about, is the actual tent itself. Okay, but we're going to pause for a second. Because again, does anybody remember the main point? God is present and God is holy. Very good. God is present and God is holy. So this whole tent is where God is dwelling. And so the fact that they're building this tent shows them that God is present with them. All right? But not anyone can enter the tent whenever they want to. Okay? Even in the outer courtyard, you can't just go in whenever you want to. There are rules because God is present, but he's also holy. And then to get into God's presence, if you're a sinner, which the Bible says we're all sinners, then the sinners in the Old Testament, the Israelites, would have to sacrifice an offering, an animal on the altar, because the sins of their people had to be atoned for. So they couldn't just go to God without their sins being taken care of. And then even the priests, and y'all, the priests are like the holiest people around. All right, the priests are the holiest of the holiest peoples. But even the priests, when they come in to the tabernacle, they have to wash their hands, cleansing themselves. This is family worship. That's what we're all about here. Family worship. Love that. All right, so now you might think, but tell me about the tent. Okay, I'll tell you about the tent. Exodus 26, you are to construct the tabernacle itself with 10 curtains. You must make them of finely spun linen, blue and purple. By the way, these are royal colors. These are the colors that the kings would have. And God is holy. He's a king. So we see even through this, with the design of cherubim worked into them. Also, make 50 gold clasps and join the curtains together with the clasps so that tabernacle may be a single unit. You were to make the curtains of goat hair for a tent of the tabernacle. Make 11 of these curtains. Make a covering from the tent with ram skins dyed red and a covering of fine leather on top of that. You were to make an upright supports of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Then overlay the supports with gold and make rings of gold and as holders for the crossbars, and also overlay the crossbars with gold. Okay. Now, notice, as we get closer to God, you guys may or may not know this, but gold is more valuable than silver or bronze, all right? Gold is kind of like it's the gold standard, right? It's the most important, it's the most valuable. So as we get closer to God, we're getting even more valuable in the elements that are being described. Okay, back to the tabernacle picture. Now, I'm describing what's happening on the outside, but what happens when you go inside? Well, I'll show you now. Okay, you see in this picture, this is what is in the most holy, in the holy place. So if you imagine, there's the outer courtyard, and then there's two rooms inside the big tent. This is the first room that you walk into. This is called the holy place. And inside the holy place, you will see three elements. You see those elements right in front of you, one on the left, one in the center, and one on the right. Now, let's talk about the first element, the altar of incense. That's the one in the center there. Look at what God says in Exodus 40. You are to make an altar for burning of incense. Make it of acacia wood. Overlay its top, its sides, and its horns with pure gold. Make a gold molding all around it. You are to place the altar in front of the curtain by the altar of testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is over my testimony, where I will meet with you. And Aaron must burn fragrant incense on it. He must burn it in the morning, every morning, when he tends to the lamps. Okay, so the altar of incense, the incense are like prayers. Oftentimes, the Bible says that our prayers are like incense before the Lord going up. And so when when Aaron, the priest, is lighting the incense, these are like prayers going up before the Lord. Because remember, what's the main point of the tabernacle? God is present and God is holy. That's right. He is present, but not anyone could just walk in to the holy place, right? You have to be a priest or a Levite to walk into the holy place. So even though God is present, he hears our prayers, right? When we pray to God, he hears them, and yet he's holy. Not anyone can enter in. Okay, well, that's the first one. What about the second element that we see in the holy place? There's this candle thingy, right? This candle thingy. Let's look at what this candle thingy called a lampstand is. You are to make a lampstand out of pure hammered gold. Six branches, oh, thanks, you caught me. Six branches are to extend from its sides, three branches of the lampstand from one side, three branches on the other side. There are three cups shaped like almond blossoms. And each bud and petal, one and on one branch, it is to be this way for the six branches that are extend from the lampstand. Make seven lamps and set them up so that they illuminate the area in front of it. Okay, so why is there a lampstand inside the tabernacle, in the holy place? They have to see, right? That's one of it, right? It's dark, it's enclosed. The priests and the Levites are in there doing work. They have to see. So there's a very practical reason why there's a lampstand in there. But it's more than that too, right? God communicates himself even in this story by fire. He's the pillar of fire. So God's presence is signified. But also there's something interesting, and maybe this is more for the parents in the room, but you notice that this is like a tree-like lampstand. We talk about buds and almond blossoms on there. Scholars believe that this is signifying the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden originally. So as we're entering into God's holy place, we are reminded that God originally was present with his people in perfect harmony in the Garden of Eden. So this is reminding us of how things were at the beginning. Okay, now let's look at the last element. This is the table. You can barely see it in this picture. This is the table of presence. Now let's see what God says about that. Exodus 25, 23. You are to construct a table of acacia wood, 36 inches long, 18 inches wide, 27 inches high. Overlay it with pure gold. Checking, and make it a gold molding all around it. You're also to make its plates and cups, as well as the pitchers and bowls for pouring drink offerings. Make them all of pure gold. Put the bread of the presence at the table before me at all times. Why is there this table there? Are the priest getting hungry? No, that's not it. This table signifies the Lord's provision for his people. Remember, in the wilderness, he fed the people daily. So this is a reminder of God's provision for his people. Okay, so that's the picture of the entire holy place. This is the first room when you enter into the tabernacle. But what happens when you go past the altar of incense? What happens when you get past that? Well, I want you to look on the screen, and this is going to be hard because it's kind of a dark picture, but I want you to look at this curtain, okay? Now, this is a curtain that divides the holy place from the most holy place behind it, okay? Now, it's like a wall, right, that separates us. We have a wall separating us here from outside. This is separating us from the holy place to the most holy place. Now, you may or may not be able to see it, but on the curtain, there are two angels. There are two angels. Now, again, remember the Garden of Eden. Once Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, does anybody remember what was keeping them out, keeping them from coming back into God's presence? What was it? An angel with a fiery sword. And so again, we're reminded that while God is present with his people, he's also what? He's also holy, and sinful people are separated from God, just like Adam and Eve were separated from the presence of God in the Garden of Eden. And so this curtain separates the people from God, which every Easter we talk about this, and oftentimes even throughout the year, we talk about when Jesus was crucified on the cross, what was torn in two? Does anybody remember? The curtain that keeps us out from God, which reminds us that now, because of what Jesus did, we have access to God. Okay, so that's what's on the outside, but what happens when you go in? Let's look at this. This is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. What does the Bible say about the Ark of the Covenant? It says this in chapter 25, verse 10. They are to make an ark of acacia wood, 45 inches long, 27 inches wide, and 27 inches high. Overlay it with pure gold. Overlay it on the inside and out. Make a gold molding all around it. Cast four gold rings for it and place them on its four feet. Make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles on the rings on the sides of the ark in order to carry them. And then we actually find this in Hebrews 9. We actually, in the book of Exodus, we don't figure out all of the elements in it, but Hebrews actually tells us what was in it. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, covered with gold on all sides, in which there was a gold jar containing the manna. Pause for a second. The manna, that's how God fed the Israelites in the wilderness every day. Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Whew! That's a lot, y'all. All right, now let's look at this picture again of the tabernacle. All right, now, does anybody remember what the main point of all these details are? What's the main point of the tabernacle, guys? God is present and God is holy. Very good, very good. Now, it took me a little bit of time to explain it. Can you imagine how long it took the Israelites to build it? I mean, we're talking about not days, not weeks, but months of hard work. But guess what? After all the hard work, Exodus 40 tells us that they finally finished it. Exodus 40, verse 16, Moses did everything just as the Lord had commanded him. The tabernacle was set up in the first month of the second year on the first day of the month. They did it, y'all. They built the tabernacle. Now, you got to remember why they were building the tabernacle. They built it for who to live in? God, right. So after they finished the tabernacle that was built for who do you think comes and lives in the tabernacle? God, very good. Look at verse 34. The cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Look on the screen, you'll see this artist's rendering of what this could have looked like, where the glory cloud comes and dwells over and in the tabernacle. Exodus 40, verse 34 says this, the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And the Israelites stayed with God, stayed in the one place as long as the cloud covered the tabernacle. The Israelites set out whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle throughout all the stages of their journey. You see, the thing is, for the Israelites, all they wanted to be was with God. So wherever God was, that's where they wanted to be. And when God moved, they moved. When God stayed, they stayed. When God went left, they went left. When God went right, they went right. They just wanted to be with God. And that's what the tabernacle was all about. But y'all, there's one more thing we got to know. In the book of John, when it says that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us, you know what word that John uses in Greek to describe what God did? It says, Jesus dwelt among us. You know what the word actually says? Jesus tabernacled with us. You see, all that story and all the details of the tabernacle, it actually points us to Jesus, y'all. Because here's the truth. Jesus is our tabernacle. He is our way to enjoy God's presence. It's only because of Jesus, because he died on the cross to take away our sins, that we get to go into the tabernacle. We get to enjoy God's presence. We get to enjoy God's love. We get to enjoy God's peace and his joy. Jesus is our tabernacle. Now, you remember what I said about the Israelites? The tabernacle was so good, but it was also hard work, wasn't it? Same thing with Jesus. Oh, it's so good what Jesus gave us, but it was hard work. And it wasn't you who did it. It was Jesus. He did the hard work. 33 years on this earth, living perfectly, never once disobeying God. And at the end of his life, he suffered a death that none of us would ever want to suffer. It was hard work, but he did it for you. And the Bible tells us that if any of us believe, confess that we're a sinner, and that Jesus is our Savior, the Bible says we are forgiven and we get to enter in to God's presence. That's the story of the tabernacle, that's the story of Exodus, and that's the story of Jesus. Let me pray.